Today, visiting with Boone City Administrator Bill Scare. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
And joining us, so we've got Public Works Director Waylon Andrews. Waylon, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back. You can tell it's either in the springtime and we've got some projects going on, or it's in the fall and we've got snow. Okay, it's the fall. We've got snow. Snow ordinance, and this is the time of the year you usually come in and give out reminders for people. Let's go back a little bit and talk a little bit about some of the numbers. Last year, what was it like coming into this year? And I know it's, you know, it's kind of hard to take a look at overlaps and stuff, but we didn't. It didn't seem like we had the snow ordinance in effect all that much last year.
We didn't. We called the entire town twice for the residential areas. Another seven more times uptown for the business and business and West Boone business districts. A lot of that came down to timing of the events. The forecasting was off, and we didn't feel comfortable putting it in if it wasn't going to be validated, you know, so we didn't. The others were around the holiday times, Christmas and New Year's. We don't typically try to inconvenience families that are coming into town and have not great options to get the vehicles off the street. We did have 10 events total over the season, and 10 of them were over 2 inches, I guess, and then seven more were under 2 inches that were ice and snow, smaller accumulation.
So again, pretty much that's part of the process. So the variables you have to consider are how much, timing, what else is going on. Again, holiday time, that has the bearing on it, things like that. Timing has got to be, that's got to be the toughest one to deal with.
Timing and forecast.
Is
it really going to do what they say?
I saw a forecast and it said it was going to be 6 inches of snow. Why isn't this in effect?
Yep.
Some cities do.
Yep.
We are not one of them.
Correct. Correct. We would like to make sure it's here before we call that. And we try to give you 12 hours notice to get there. So if it shows up and it wasn't forecasted within that 12 hours, we try to be lenient and control that. We did have, like I said, it was a pretty heavy year. We're above average for annual cost last year. Like I said, a lot of that contributed to the holidays, a little overtime here and there, and a lot late season was refreeze. I'd have to send them back out to resalt after the melt happened and then refreeze. So
yeah, we get that.
Yep.
Those are the challenges. All in all, now, last year, too, we had a little higher fuel prices, or were you locked in on some? Or
Nope. Fuel costs last year annually were about $25,000 just for snowplow removal, you know, and our average snow budget or average snow cost in the last 10 years is around $76,000, and we're over a third of that just for fuel. And this last year we had figure on paper about $130,000 to $140,000 in snow removal.
Okay.
So it was a hefty year.
And those are the challenges, Bill, when you're doing budget, because right now, as you start putting budget information together, you're guessing what we're going to look at here at the end of 24 and into 25.
Correct.
And those are some of the real challenges. All you can pretty much is go by, here's what we've done over the last several years, and this is how much we're going to budget for it. So,
and I think some of the, it's not the big, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not the big events that, right? It's all the little ones, because he's still got to send his people out for the stop signs, snow routes, to put ice and sand or
sand,
whatever
salt,
you know,
down
they're putting down at the time. So that's manpower, obviously, that we have to send out. So we might not get a lot of snow, but a lot of these little ones aren't cheap.
Yeah, and that's the other part for Public Works. You only have so many people.
Yep.
You've got so many miles to cover, and we've added a few miles on this in the last year with some of the changes that went on with the county going out Industrial Park Road and doing some of that area. I mean, county picked up a little bit, and we kind of trade back and forth to whatever's going to be the most efficient to being able to get it done. So, but it does take time, and guys can only drive for so long.
Yep. Yep. We generally can get the town taken care of in a good 8-hour period, you know. We don't like to brag by any means, because sometimes it's going to take us longer than that. I've got a
Depends how deep it is.
Yep, I've got a lot of newer staff, mm-hmm. and they're young and learning, and we'll have to teach them the ropes in a couple of areas, but hopefully some of the senior employees will take the role there. And
we do have a few areas where we do have a tendency to see some pretty good drifting too.
Yes, yep. There's two of the roads that we do see that on are going to be new for us this year. The Hancock Drive through the new school out mm-hmm. to Airport Road. I think that's got all potential to be a wild road this winter. And the new paving on Park Avenue and South Marion there, that tends to drift. So we'll have to keep an eye on that and see what we can do.
So you just keep track of it. Well, let's talk a little bit. Obviously, the big thing, and I know that how many times you can say it, but there are ways people can be informed if the snow ordinance is going to be in effect. And, you know, we do a lot of different ways that people give it out. Bottom line is sign up for Nixl, I guess. I can't say that enough. If they got text messaging, and most do, right. and it doesn't really cost them anything. Some it does, but for the majority it doesn't. But text messaging, that's probably the easiest way to keep up to date.
Yep, that's the easiest way. We have that text message from our Nixl system, the text message system. You text all capital letters, Boone Snow, BOONESNOW, all one word, to 888-777.
And if you don't, if your flip phone doesn't do texting or whatever, if you know, I have a friend that does it, they'll tell you. So pass the word on if you're signed up for it. That's the easy way, and it also tells you when it's done.
Yep, we'll send out a text when it's done also. So if you're confused about a plow went by or whatever, you know, we will send out another text in the morning when it's lifted.
So just make sure. The ease of operation, because like I said, smaller yep. staff and with the equipment you've got, and I know you've got some that you're going to put some bigger plows on. And
yep, we've got two newer trucks with the wings, and I like to utilize everything we have. So if we can drop that wing down, we're pushing, you know, 20 to 24 foot with four of our pieces of equipment. And, you know, a 31 foot street doesn't give you much room to miss a car or get around them without having to fold your plows up and move and then come back just for that section to make another round.
Yeah. Explain a little bit about when you start doing like snow emergency routes and timing. If the snow starts early in the morning, say 4 o'clock, and it looks like it's going to be a good 8-hour event. You come out fairly early.
Yep. We'll come out generally if I can get the snow routes open for public traffic. Usually I'll have somebody out somewhere around 4 o'clock in the morning. That's where I like to at least have somebody on the ground if we need to for traffic when it starts picking up. Other than that, we like to watch things. Once there's two, if it's going to be a continuation of snow, we 2 inches on the ground, we try to hit the snow routes, get them clear, keep them clear, and then once it's completed snowing, then I send the crew out and do it. If it falls during the day, we will be out during the day trying to keep up with it.
Well, part of it is people are going to be out driving around anyway. You yep. try to keep them still moving if you can.
Yep, it's all timing.
Let's talk a little bit about the business district, because a lot of people are, well, what is that? Where is that? And I always say anywhere where you windrow.
Yep. So there's also a couple links on the City of Boone website to sign up for that Nixl, and there's mm-hmm. also the e-notify, and that's all at www.boonegov.com. The downtown business districts that you were talking about, there is City Code 6922, emergency snow routes and districts. It's all defined there. If you have any questions about that, it's all in that. But what I like to go back to and refer to when people ask me, if there's a windrow in the middle of the street, you are in a business district.
Okay.
That's the easiest way to define it. If there's a windrow in the middle of the street, that will be getting picked up. And that's
okay. That means that in those business districts, and I know this is out around the courthouse and that too.
Yep.
But during the day, then come and get your sidewalks cleaned off. Get that done, because yep. you do come through and do a final scrape up and get everything towards the middle before you get it picked up.
Yep. If you're a tenant in a business district, or you live in the business district, or have a property in there, you've got 24 hours to get your materials and snow from the fall to out to the curb so we can come by the second time and haul it away. A lot of people ask why we don't haul it away the first night. It's because we have to give the patrons uptown and the districts, business districts, time to get their snow removed.
A little extra time for that. Bill, obviously, towing. No, we would just as soon not have to tow. For some reason, some years it gets a little more than others.
Correct. Our goal, obviously, every year is not to tow one vehicle the whole season. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen, but that would be our preference. And when council, we put in the snow ordinance several years ago, the goal was to remove the snow as efficiently as possible. Mm-hmm. Having all the cars off the road obviously allows Public Works to get in there and get them cleared where they don't have to come back if they have to go around a car and things like that. So we have several notifications that people can use to be notified of the snow ordinance. Another thing is let your neighbor know. Mm-hmm. If you get something that there's a snow ordinance and you see your neighbor's car is in the street, let them know. They may not be, you know, signed up. Mm-hmm. And then tell them how to get signed up so that we can get as many people possible, you know, on the notification list. That's mm-hmm. that's the goal, is to notify as many people as possible. As well, we have the signs at the entrances, I believe, Wayland, to yep. each, to the city mm-hmm. that says we're a snow ordinance community. And just spread the word. That would be great. The more people that talk about it, the snow ordinance, the better.
And one of the other things that the city council did is during the winter months, they can park, get up onto the parking yep. or like that, so that they're off the street. Yep. And I mean, that's
right.
It's a short-term solution, but it does help them get off the street.
Correct. Police and fire have been pretty good about sharing it on their social media sites and stuff like that whenever we do things mm-hmm. like this also. So, and it, I know council members, and they all like share it. I see it all over. I just share it. Share the word.
Get the word out. Yep. And again, unfortunately, some people are still, I hate to say it, but they're, I'd like to say you never tow a vehicle, but unfortunately, it does happen. And we've had it for a number of years now. So
we have.
It's when new people come into town, make sure they understand and
right.
and what, you know, talk to your neighbors about what you're going to do and how you're going to get it off. Alleyways, because I know people always talk about that. You have limited number of people and pretty much do just pickup trucks.
Yeah, primarily it's one individual, one truck. Covers the entire town of alleys. I have been filling in and, you know, helping him out, trying to get that done in an 8-hour period. So one guy, one truck, one pass down every alley. That's what our goal is, and we again wait till after snow so we're not wasting time, but we're trying to get you a hole punch through there and out with one pass. And, you know, generally all passenger vehicles can make it through there, but a lot of the residents take the alley and take a little bit better care of it. But that's all that we're doing, is one pass down each alley.
So just try to make it around. We'll see what happens with the snow. And again, holiday events treated a little bit differently. So again, it's got a variety of different things to pay attention to.
Yes.
Snow. We'll remind them again how to get signed up for all of this.
Spread the word.
Some of the other things that are going on. Here we are. Let's talk a little bit about some of the construction that's been going on. You brought in sewer lining, like, literally right before it got cold.
Yep.
In one of those areas where you like doing this, especially if you have sewer lines that need some stability.
Yep, need some stability. It puts basically a new pipe inside of a pipe. It's the integration of the pipe. It at a fraction of the cost of digging up and replacing new. You know, they're estimating somewhere between $250 a foot to dig up and replace the pipe, and we can get a whole new pipe put in through this process for, you know, $50 a foot, $30 a foot, depending on the size, you know. So it's a great benefit. And
the logistics of it, and you're talking down the middle of Story Street, you'd yep. much rather preserve it as long as you can rather than have to dig up the middle of the street.
Correct. Ultimately, safety is always my goal there, and that traffic control and working on Story Street, I know the citizens have seen this over the past couple of years, but getting this section from Mamie down to Woodland all lined down the middle of Story Street, you know, hopefully my crew doesn't have to dig there again for sanitary sewer, and that's the goal.
We've had several hundred feet of, and it's all been working pretty well. The
yes.
way it sounds.
Yep. Yep. We were started, I think,
early 2012, 2013.
Yep, we did some pilots in 2009, I believe, even up on the north side. Some down on South Boone or on Union over there by the old Page School was a first project that we piloted, and we haven't really seen any problems with that. And so that's the technology's there. It's you know, they're changing a little bit here and there every year with advancements, and it's pretty amazing what they can do with the little computers, tractors, and equipment.
So. They're keeping track of it, and that's it's good. It does, because digging always costs a lot more,
yep.
too.
Right.
I did have some paving projects. Let's talk about some of the new paving. People will wonder. Hancock, obviously, the extension there. What do you do for treatment on that? Is it going to be some salting? And West Park, South Marion, that's new. I know you get a little cautious about how you're going to treat it in the wintertime.
Yeah, we try to be a little cautious about it. I will have a discussion with our engineers here real soon about it. Ultimately, you know, it comes down to safety, and we will have to provide some traction control at intersection and stuff, but it will be fairly minimal. Like I said, we'll try to keep an eye on that and keep everything as safe as we can, but still try to protect the new cure, the new concrete.
Yep. Got to preserve it as long as we can.
Yep.
So. Exactly.
So, Bill, some of the other things that are happening. What do we go?
Well, speaking of roads, you mentioned, I think, Waylon, Marion and West Park, we're just about done out there with the paving.
Just about done out there. All the paving is in, except for one little intake that they've got to stick form and pour. And I think that's trying to wrap up this week. Hopefully, there's warmer temperatures at the end of the week here. We can get that taken care of. And I know they're out there working backfilling, grading, and everything, and lowering the essential utilities there. It is open, but not to through traffic now.
Mostly for just the locals.
So. Yep.
Right. And then we hope to close by the end of the year, and I think that will happen with Cading Inc. On that project out there, that about approximately 15 acres. So we hope to close on that. They'll get ownership of it. And then I expect at some point in the next month or two, they may start moving dirt.
They'll start doing their project, and they pursue their tax credits. That's a thing that that's all them.
Yes.
The city's not involved with that. They are talking marketplace. So again,
market rate, yeah.
Market
exactly
rate.
Right. Exactly right. Up to 128 units. I have not got any information that has changed that, so that's what we're hoping for, and it'd be a good project. I'm excited to get that started. And obviously paving Marion and West Park obviously was a part of that.
Yeah.
Is opening up that area out there. Now we got this development, and we certainly hope that there'll be more to come out there.
I know that when I looked back, I went up and took a look at how they work in the dark up on the north side. Man, they went right through the Thanksgiving holiday. Still working, and now doing the digging underground work for the apartments, for the senior apartment.
Exactly. They're out there every day, all through the weekend and everything. I went up over the Thanksgiving holiday, and you're right, they're out there working. And I think they have most of the road completed for the senior project.
Yep.
And they're preparing it, right?
Yep.
And so I don't know that Dave has a date when they're going to start construction of the, I think it's 30 townhome or 30 garden homes. But they're working all the time. If folks want to go up there and take a look at the exterior, the amount of brick they're using on it, on the homes and things like that. So yeah, it's moving forward.
That one's called Villas at Fox Point, and they're already taking inquiries for people that are interested. And that's got some LMI. That's some low to moderate income. Things tied to it again. So there's opportunities there for new families, younger families to be able to get in. Those are going on. Let's see, what other projects? Otherwise, that's most of your projects. You're wrapping them up for the year.
Yeah, we've got some pending that I hope to be able to talk about here in the next month or so. We're staying busy with ED. Ames at ADC is busy with a lot of different projects that we're working on, which is very good. It's that's for the future of continual building, so we hope those will come to fruition. One thing I brought that I wanted to mention was Chris gave her update on CV. Chris from CVB, excuse me, gave her update on tourism. And one thing I'd note is the increase in the hotel motel revenue for annual for fiscal year 23. It rose considerably. Well, that provides revenue then for the city to support economic development, to support CVB and other things. And I think what that shows is some of the things we've been doing on the promotions. You know, we do those TV commercials every year, and we advertise in the Ames Livability magazine, which has a far-reaching effect. We went through every magazine that we got the last year. Chris usually takes those with her to the shows, and we ran out. So I think it's shown what we're doing is working. I'm really pleased with the revenue, and we'll see how it actually comes in. If you look at the rail explorers, right, 32,197 riders, 44 states, including Alaska and Hawaii, 27% of them were outside the state of Iowa. Mm-hmm. That is really good, and that's huge. And then you follow up with the Boone and Standing Valley Railroad, 44,000 riders, 50 states, 18 countries, 76% of the dinner and the lunch train that sold out. That is really positive things for getting people to come to Boone and experience it and see what's here, which then all helps the community as a whole. It helps our restaurants, fuel stations, whatever businesses we have. So that I wanted to just talk about that and point out that's really good.
That's a lot of traffic into into the county, and I know even from data down at the ledges for the campers they had some record camping going on through the summertime last year as well too.
Yes. So
busy, and next year we'll have the Farm Progress Show come rolling along again too.
Exactly.
We'll have that happening too. So budget time for you in December, you take a look at goal setting. Council will get together and kick around those ideas that they'll be looking at to go into the new fiscal year. That's kind of how you get things started.
Right. Goal setting is set for December 5th at 6 p.m. So that starts the process. Mm-hmm. We've already gone through the CIP process. The committee met. We're finalizing those things. Those obviously they'll be hearing, and it'll go to council for approval during the budget process. But we've pretty much wrapped that up, and now we're starting on budgets. Department heads are working on their budgets. We're also going through the new software, which we've talked about. So that's creating a lot more work, obviously, because it's the first time, right? So we're working through that. I can tell you that the finance department is extremely busy.
I was going to say,
not only Andrea, but the payroll, Emma, that works with her, they are on this budget thing every single day.
I was going to say,
new software.
Department heads are going, I've never seen this form look like this before. Tell me where everything is again. So.
Yeah.
Those are some of the challenges.
The form, it doesn't look good. I think the final form we're coming up with, I think I've seen it on a few budgets so far that I've looked at, and I'm okay. I'm pleased with it. I think it's going to be fine. The key is after we get through this first year is efficiency and better ways to do the work that aren't taking so many man hours. The hurdle we have is just getting there. And this first year is we are getting there to try to so that we have that for the future.
Last council meeting, Andre Elmquist did tell the council about some of the numbers that have been talked about on property tax and the property tax reform at the legislative level. And again, she did touch on some of those. A lot of it we won't know for sure until we actually get some of that data, that information in.
Correct. I went to a meeting to talk with some people at the state about what it's going to look like. They can't really say. I know Andre has been to a few as well. So we're waiting for our numbers. I think we could have a delay in our numbers, and that's not any fault of the county over there at all. It's just they have to go through the same thing that we are, and so it takes time. They've extended the deadlines, but they've also added things that we have to do with the separate meeting, and it either has to be a separate night, or if you want it the same night as a council meeting, you have to make sure you have at least a 30-minute break before you have the regular council meeting. So we're working on those. We put a budget schedule together that we think will work. We'll do the best we can to make sure we meet the deadlines. Mm-hmm. But see, this is also new for the state, right? They go in and they pass this law, and then they pass it to the Department of Finance, right? And then so they've got to figure it out. So we're working with them. They've got to get their things correct. And
so this is what we think they meant?
That is well put. This is what we think they meant. And there's hiccups in it. So we'll just have to do the best we can, work through it, and be flexible and make adjustments if we need to make adjustments. But you're right, though. Ultimately, until we get our first set of numbers with these changes that the legislature made down there on the homestead credit for 65 and over, the veterans credit, the reduction of the rollback for residential to, 8.3% reduction, that is going to affect us.
Mm-hmm.
We've got information through the league, or Andre has, I should say, that if you don't grow 16-17%, you're going to have less money. Well, I'm sure that we didn't do that. And it's kind of tricky with the formula they used and everything, where they capped it at 3%. You have to be a finance officer to understand this.
We'll see how it all comes together.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. So
there's going to be more than just Boone involved with keeping track.
And we're not the only city, right?
Absolutely.
There's other cities dealing with it. So,
well, and once again, contact information if they want, if they need to get updated in Excel. And again, I know that they can get signed up for emails, and there's a lot of different ways that the information will come out. So let's hit them one more time. Because we are in the season.
Yep. All one word, all caps, Boone Snow, BOONESNOW to 888-777.
Pretty easy to remember that. And if you get signed up for all the other Nixle things, too, it lets you know where the road closures are, where sewer work is going to be going on, all kinds of things. And let's not be having a lot of that in the wintertime.
Yep.
No, you don't want to do that.
Correct.
So, again, there are ways. Check the city's website if they have any questions. They could always call and ask.
Exactly.
Someone will gladly help.
Everything's there on the website. My email's on there. You can email me. You can email Waylon. Yep. And if you have a question, we'll do our very best to get you an answer as soon as we can.
All right. Bill Scare, Waylon Andrews, our guest on the program today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.